Should have went to verse 22 through the rest of the chapter today. But as I studied this week, I just really felt impressed that that was not where the Lord wanted us to go. So we're going to go to the book of Joshua. And I'm going to read a lot of different verses. So I type them out and put them on the overhead. So you may want to just follow me and follow the screen rather than trying to find it in your Bible. Also, last week I said something that the Lord convicted me of. And I said something about President Trump's stupid tweets. And I do get frustrated with those. But that's a statement that was made out of pride on my part. And it should have never been made in the house of God. It was an arrogant. I have never been president of the United States. How dare I critique him? I need to pray for him. So that was spoken out of frustration. And so I have repented to the Lord for making that statement. And I just repent and apologize to you. It should have not been made. And so I hope that you humbly accept that. So, amen. Now I'm going to have to figure out where we're going here. But the title of this sermon is, You Have Not Passed This Way Before. You have not passed this way before. I don't know about you, but I love a new year. Do you guys like a new year? 2019 is fresh and it's new and I hadn't screwed it up yet. So, you know, I have not passed this way before and I need the Lord's help. You may be looking at 2019 the same way Jericho or the same way Joshua looked at it. And he saw Jericho that laid ahead of him, and it was an overwhelming problem that he did not know how in the world he could face that. You may be facing physical sickness, loneliness, depression, marital problems, financial problems, relational problems. Who knows what 2019 is holding for you? But I know this. With Jesus by my side, in leadership, I can conquer my problems, and so can you. So let's read. We'll start off, and you just follow the screen. Joshua 1, verse 1 and 2, it says, After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, and saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them and to the children of Israel. Verse 6, he says, Be strong and of good courage, for this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have very good success. I don't have this verse, but let me just read the very first part. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? In other words, the Lord spoke that three times to Joshua. You think Joshua had a little bit of a problem? If the Lord tells you sometimes something three times, I would say he's trying to get your attention. In chapter 3, verse 4, he says, Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits of measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. Chapter 5, verse 6, For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the desert, or in the wilderness, till all the people who were men of war, who came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers, that he would give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Down to verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and he worshiped. And he said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Chapter 6, verse 10. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout. So he had the ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once, then came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, and the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord, while the priests continued blowing their trumpets. And the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. On that day only they marched around the city 7 times. And the seventh time it happened, when the priests blew their trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Amen. Father God, we just come before you today. Lord, our hearts and our minds are attentive to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying in this place. Lord, my heart is thumping with the Spirit of God. I feel so alive at this moment because I know that you're in a place. Lord, I pray that you, Lord, show yourself to us as you did Joshua. I pray that today we would have a divine encounter with you, God, that our lives would never be the same, but today would be a day that we mark for the rest of our life. Lord, in the timeline of our life, today is marked by the Spirit of God. When you get our attention, when you set forth, Lord, something to go forth in our life, God, we look to you for 2019. Only you know what this year holds for us. But we look to you and we trust you with everything we are. Spirit of God, have your way today. Don't let anyone sit in this service, God, thinking they're okay when they're not okay. Shake us if we need to be shaken. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Wow. I had no idea that would be like that. Amen. I need a tissue. I can't tell which one's running more. It's either my nose or my eyes, but I'm leaking all over. The very first thing is we need a fresh word from the Lord for 2019. I feel that the body of Christ is stale and dry, and we need some freshness that only the Spirit of God can bring to us. We need a fresh anointing for 2019. Can you put yourself in Joshua's shoes for just a moment and just think about it? Moses is dead and you've been picked. How would you like to follow Moses? To me, it'd be like following Abraham Lincoln, you know? I mean, one of the greatest leaders that the world has ever seen was Moses. And you're next. How intimidated would you be? Sometimes life has a way of intimidating us, doesn't it? You know, maybe you're not following Moses. Maybe you just feel intimidated for what he's called you to do right now. Just leading your family or leading your business or whatever God has tapped you for. You think, I can't do that. And you're right. You probably can't. Because when you get the mind of the Lord, it's always greater than you. You know, the other thought that comes to my mind is, we always have to learn how to play second chair before we get to first chair. And if you can't play a good second chair, you're never going to be first. And most people hate second chair. But there's so much freedom in second chair. Let the first chair take all the heat. You get to enjoy the music, right? Moses had a Joshua. Thank God that Moses had a Joshua. Joshua was faithful to him. He never left his side. Remember, he was the only one that stayed on the mountain when all the other people went and had a party. Joshua stayed right there, waiting for Moses to come down off the mountain. Elijah tapped Elisha. And he said, Elisha's out farming 12 oxen. Maybe I think it was 12 yokes, so it was like 24. So he had men working for him. He's out. That's a big farmer. And God and Elijah comes to Elisha and says, I want you to follow me. Elijah sacrificed the cattle, burned the yoke, sacrificed it all to the Lord, and followed Elijah. When Elijah died, remember when Elijah died? He told Elisha, what do you want? You've been so faithful, what do you want? And he said, I want double what you got. I want a double portion of the power and the Spirit of God. Whew, baby. You know, it's recorded in the Word of God that Elijah did 7 miracles in his lifetime and Elisha did 14. He got double just because he was faithful as second chair. Elisha went and he tapped Gehazi. He said, follow me. I want you to be in the lineup. And then a man called Naaman came that had leprosy, but he was wealthy. And he offered a bunch of money to Elisha just to get rid of the leprosy. And Elisha said, you just go down to this little muddy hole and dip 7 times and God will heal you. But I don't want any of your earthly goods. Gehazi thought that was just a little too easy. Why should we let him off with that? He's got all that money. So he slipped out the door. He goes over to Naaman after Naaman was healed. After God healed Naaman. He goes and he said, my master has changed his mind. He wants some clothes and he wants some of your gold. And so Naaman gladly gave it to him. And Gehazi come back to the tent. I wasn't planning on talking about this at all. Came back to the tent and had to hide it. And when he went back into the presence of Elisha said, you think you hid that, but God has seen you. And now the leprosy that was on Naaman will come to you. You see, Gehazi never learned to play second chair. And he never made it to first chair. You've got to learn to be a good second before you can go to first. Number 2, whatever God is calling you to, whatever you're going to face this year is going to require more courage than you'll ever think you have. And you're going to have to look fear in the face and tell it, you have no part in my life. Folks, you listen to me. You're going to face some things this year that fear is going to try to overtake you. And you're going to have to learn to stand up and speak up. This is so good. I'm about to shout. You're going to have to look that thing in the face and say, not today, and not this year, and not next year. Get thee behind me. I'm a person of faith, not fear. The Lord spoke to Joshua and he said, I'm giving you the land. No man will be able to stand before you. But three times he had to tell him, but Joshua, you got to be courageous. You see, I can make all these promises of God being with you this year, but I know how this stuff plays out. The day when you get the worst word of your life, the day when the hardest battle comes to you, most likely you'll be there alone. Your preacher won't be there with you, but you're going to have to hear these words at that moment that the Lord says, be strong and courageous, for the battle is mine. I've got this, Joshua, and so do you, but you're going to have to remind yourself at some point down the road, be strong, Eric. Be courageous. I'm a man of God. We don't like to talk like that, do we? Sometimes you got to talk to yourself, don't you? You look yourself in the mirror and say, you shape up. You're a man of God. Now act like it, boy. You ever done that? Yeah. If I don't do it, Treba does it to me. So I prefer to do it myself. He says, you observe to do. Why do we come to church? Why do we read the word? Because we observe to do. We don't observe for knowledge's sake. We observe to do. That means what I read in the word, I apply to my life so that I can walk it out. If all you are is full of knowledge, you're of little good to the kingdom of God. You're probably living a very defeated life. My grandfather could quote you scripture and verse, but he was a long way from a godly man. He missed the do part. Number three, the Lord says you meditate upon this word. Meditate means to chew the cud, just like a cow does. Cow eats a little bit of hay or grass, got four stomachs, goes from one to the other, and he works on that same little bit of hay and grass all day long. Let me tell you, God may speak to you and say, I want you to read this verse, boy. You read that verse, but don't dismiss it. You chew on it all day long. You can chew on this message all day, all week, maybe all month. Sometimes God has given me a verse that I couldn't get rid of for a year. Why? Because He was wanting me to chew. You are a son of God. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the Word. That's a word you can chew on. That's a word you better have deep in your heart, so that when the knees start shaking because you're so scared, you can quote to yourself, greater is He that's in me. He said, then you will be prosperous and have good success. I don't know a person alive that doesn't want to be successful and prosperous. And that's not wrong. That's something God has instilled in us. But we can't do it by ourselves. We cannot do this alone. It takes God Almighty. The fourth thing He said, and I applied this to last week's sermon, we must walk circumspectly. It's what Ephesians said, remember? And I told you walking circumspectly was like a cat. Before a cat pounces on his prey, he walks all around it. He observes. He wants to make sure that he's not the bait for a trap, that he's trapping the bait, right? Many times we just jump into something before we really look at it and we find out we are in the trap now. That the whole thing, it looks so good. And I bit. And boy, did I get bit. He told Joshua, I want you to begin to prepare provisions. There's always a time of preparing before a battle. Joshua spied out the land, remember? He sent two spies in to go look at Jericho. Jericho had walls around it that they said they could have chariot races on the walls. I mean, it wasn't like the wall that Trump wants to build. This was a wall. So this literal church might be the width of the wall that went around Jericho. And then houses were built into the wall. So two spies in. They find this lady named Rahab. This lady who was a creature of the night, you might say. She was a harlot. Just like God to put us in touch with the harlot. She knew the city, didn't she? She knew the talk of the city. And she said, we're scared to death of you. Because we know the reports. Now you remember the report? The report was they've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. What report did she know? We know that God, the God of heaven is on your side. And whatever he gives you, the other side loses. She was more afraid than they were confident. Joshua did not send those spies in to do a feasibility report. See, that's what we want to do when we walk circumspectly. We want to examine the problem to see if it's possible. God didn't ask you for your opinion on whether something's possible. Not if he asked you to do it. He says you might study to know how the best way to do it, but I'm not asking you your opinion. Line up, boy. You're my servant. That's good preaching, Pastor Kelleher. The next thing is there's always a time of sanctification, ridding ourselves of some worldly things before God can use us, before God will make you first place, first chair. You're going to have to go through a time of sanctification where he can trust you. I believe with all my heart that the reason we're not more successful is because we refuse to give up some things. He told them, he said, you guys have been wandering for 40 years because you were rebellious. And you haven't even kept the covenant that set you apart from all others. That covenant was the covenant of circumcision. Remember? Those kids that grew up. Remember, the only people that could go forward was those 20 and under. So everyone over 20 died in that 40-year span. Those under 20, their shoes never wore out. God was leading them and guiding them. And they didn't even keep the covenant of God. He said, before you can conquer Jericho, you got to go back and do what you're supposed to do. Let me tell you, before you get your 2019 instructions, you got to go back and do 2018, 2017, 2016. Wherever you stopped being obedient, some of you think, why does God not speak to me anymore? It's because you never did the last thing he told you. I didn't think we'd get too excited about that, but I thought maybe a little bit more than that. Don't drop the ball. Let's do what he says to do so we can hear new instruction. Go take your mountain now. So Joshua calls the people to sanctify themselves. Presence of God identifies those things that they need to get rid of. Then God rose back the Jordan River, just like he did for Moses, the Red Sea, just to show the people that this really is my guy. Now you listen to him and follow him with the same confidence that you followed Moses, you can follow Joshua. You got to get your instructions from the commander. Before he went, think about how this story plays out. Before he goes to Jericho, he meets this guy with a sword drawn. And he says, are you for me or are against me? The guy says, I'm the commander of the Lord's army. In the Old Testament, there's a few times when we have what we call a theophany. And that's where Jesus Christ presents himself in the Old Testament, not as the Jesus we know in the New Testament, but in a different form. That was not an angel, because Joshua immediately hit his knees. Joshua fell down on his face, and the commander of the Lord's army accepted it. Angels would have said, get up, boy. I'm just an angel. You don't worship me. But instead, he says, you need to take your shoes off. Whew. Oh, for a service of God where we hear the instruction of the Lord. Church, take your shoes off because you're standing in holy ground. Can you imagine a day like that? A service like that, I'm going to tell you, things would break off people in a heartbeat. People would be healed in an instant. Marriages resolved. Forgiveness would be dismissed. Whoo! Take your shoes off. For the place you're standing is holy. I appreciate our casualness at this church in the way we dress. But don't you ever forget, when we come together, God is in our midst. You reverence the fact that He is here. Don't treat the things of God too casually. You get this? I'm really serious. We make sure. You know, last year when we did the Advent candle, we did communion. And so we had people come out. And as you come out, you started talking with each other. And it drove me crazy. I saw it as disrespectful to the presence of God. See, I can preach in blue jeans, but I want you to know, I respect him. And I respect this pulpit. And I respect the presence of God. And I fully realize that the Spirit of God is right here in this midst. And whether we know it or not, we need him desperately. And some of what you receive is how reverent you are to him. It's not a matter of dress. It's all about a heart. Is your heart in reverence today? Because whether you know it or not, we have come into the presence of God. Ooh. Bless the Lord. I love how Joshua is told humble. Immediately he bows down. Some of us today act like our knees don't bend. And I know some of you think, well, I can get down. I just can't get back up. So I don't bow real quickly. But if the Lord tells you to, we'll get you back up. Joshua, number 7, Joshua found a place of intimacy, a place of worship. He worships him. then he's given the commands of how to take the city in that worship. Some of you wonder, why don't I hear God? It's probably because you're not taking time enough of intimacy with him. There is nothing like worship. Let me come down there. I know most of my life I thought God was a little bit egotistical. I thought, man, he demands all this worship. Oh, you and you alone are God. Why do we have to keep telling him? It ain't for him. It's for us. It changes our heart. He knows who he is. Worship is for us. It's an audience of one. I don't have to perform for you. Treva does not perform for you. None of these musicians are here for you. They're here for him. And we got to keep that straight. I love corporate worship. But if you're living on one time a week, you're starving to death. You've got to learn to develop that worship in your home, in your private time. That's where the Lord... I have, in worship, I have seen more people healed than I ever did with deacons laying their hands on them. Why? God moves in a worship service. Why? Because our hearts get right with him and we get still. That's where the word of the Lord... Have you ever noticed the word of the Lord always flows in the worship service? Why? Because he's got our attention. We're listening to him. We're saying, speak to us. But why not on Monday? Why not Tuesday? In your private time. Do you know you can have the worst voice in the earth, and it pleases God when you lift it to him. It may not please your spouse. And it may not please your neighbor if you're really loud. But it pleases him. Not about what you sound like. It's that heart. Oh, when we begin to worship, it's like God puts a hook in your jaw and begins to do this. Come on in, boy. Come on into the presence of God. And if we could just see this, God is sitting on his throne. And if we had a worldly mind, we'd say up here is just baskets and baskets and baskets and baskets of gold. And as you get drawn into his presence, he says, take what you need. Just go on. Get into my basket of goodness. Now see, that gold may be healing. It may be a new kidney. Maybe a new ear. It may be a new liver. It may be forgiveness. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Who took the first step? You did, because you started worshiping. And as you worshiped, he started drawing. Come on in. Come a little closer. Come a little closer. I love it when my wife says that. Come a little closer. Oh, baby, here I is. That's what God does. God says, come a little closer. I want to embrace you. Have you ever felt that way with your kids? You know, especially as empty nesters when your kids grow out. And there's just times you just want to touch them. Man, I get so hungry just to touch my kids. And once I touch them, I'm like, okay, go on home. That's all I needed. See ya. You don't live here anymore, thank God. You think God ever thinks that? Oh, I just want to touch you. Can you think about Mary when she came up behind Jesus, poured the oil on his feet, the head, began to wet his feet down with the tears. She just touched him. I just have this mental image where God bends over and puts his hand on her hair. Just begins to touch her back. Oh, for a worship service like that, where God begins to touch me as I touch him. I'm going to tell you, if you need some instructions for your future, you'll probably find it in those times of intimacy and worship. Before we engage in the battle. Number 8. Now think about this. Joshua got the instructions from the Lord. And he begins to dissimulate that to his people. And if you'll read this scripture really closely, you'll find that Joshua added to the instructions that God gave him. God never told him to tell the people to be silent, to march around the city in total silence. But Joshua told his people that. You know why? Because he knew his people. He knew that the reason they did 40 years in the wilderness was because of their mouth. They murmured and they complained. And we are just like them. So there are times in your life, please listen to me. There are times in your life when you're going to have to look at yourself and say, don't say anything. Keep your mouth shut. Until I can get the mind of the Lord on this thing, I will not speak. Why? Because there's certain moments in your life when we speak unbelief, it's going to change our future. We must speak what the Lord says, not what we think. And Joshua said, I don't want you saying a word. He said, I will give you the time to speak. Until then, we think the walls falling was the real miracle. It wasn't the real miracle. The real miracle is these Israelites could walk for 7 days and not talk. That was a miracle of the Lord. You need to silence your unbelief. We all deal with it. Please hear me. We all deal with unbelief. Don't act holy, holy, holy. You are not. We all have to take control of our heads and our hearts. And at times, we have to silence it. Be quiet. You ever tell your brain that? Would you stop? I've dealt with that. Number 9 is he circled his problem. I love this. They walked around that city one time a day for 6 days. On the 7th day, they walked around that city 7 times in silence. You need to draw a circle around your problems that you're facing this year. Hear me, please, hear me. You see, I was all prepared to preach on Ephesians chapter 5. And then I realized the Spirit of God wasn't in it. I'm telling you, I know that I heard God. God is trying to get you a message today. I don't know what you're dealing with, but write it down and draw a circle around it. And make it a target. And then tell it, you're coming down. I am circling you with prayer this year. You may be big and you may be ugly. But I'm telling you, you're already defeated. You will not persist. You will not overtake me. You will not triumph in my life. Circled the city. And on the 7th day, Joshua said, be prepared to shout today. Church, I don't think we're prepared to shout. Because I don't think we're prepared to win. I don't think we're prepared for a victory. I think we need to change some things about us. I think we need to change some things about the way we think. And if I was Joshua today, I'd say, you better get ready to shout. Because there's a victory coming in your life. You gotta shout about it. The Bible says, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Oh, and Christians say, no, not in the house of God. That's not reverent. I can shout when I watch the Cardinals. I can shout with a ball game, but I can't shout for the kingdom of God. Woo! Hallelujah! We are victorious in Him. Bless the Lord. Woo! I mean, more, maybe more Pentecost than what you've asked for today. I'm convinced there's a little Pentecost in every one of us. Oh, Jesus. I felt that. Circle that problem. You start praying about it. And you start talking to it. And you say, no. Cancer ain't got me. Defeat doesn't have me. Mental illness doesn't have me. Depression doesn't have me. I am a son of God. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in this world. You see, 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, I have a treasure in an earthen vessel. It's the power of God. The Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to let Him out. I'm ready to let Him do some work in my life. Ooh. Oh, me. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I'm ready to take the land. I'm ready to take my Jericho. Are you? Are you? God ordered total destruction. Don't leave a remnant of your problem in your life. You get me? God annihilated. Dealing with cancer today, God annihilated. Every cell. See, I'm not satisfied to be 99% cured. I want 100%. And you are able. So I look to you today and I meditate upon your word. It says, you are my source, my strength, my life. Jesus came to earth. He said, I am the bread of life. What's that all about? I am the one that will sustain you. Man, man, man. We trust our bank account more than we trust God. We trust a doctor more than we trust God. My son is a doctor. I walked with him through that. They told him, on his graduation day, 50% of what we have taught you is wrong. We just don't know which 50% it is yet. Why do you think they call it a practice? I love doctors. I've got a couple of them in the family. I gotta love them. I totally respect how they have given their life. And let me tell you, they give their life for the study of helping people. But I would rather trust God as man. I will go to the doctor and I will pick his brain and I will do what he tells me to do. But my eyes look to him as my healing source, because he is the bread of life. Amen. Amen. I have delivered to you today what the Lord has spoken to me. Now, what will you do with it? What will you do with this sermon? Will you file it? Will you say, "That's a great sermon, Pastor. I like it when you get excited." Some of you'd say, "I don't like it when you get excited." Well, guess what? I didn't do it for those that like it, and I didn't do it for those that dislike it. I did it because there is a fire shut up in my bones. I'm going to go back over one point. Observe to do. If you take this sermon and you just file it as another passionate cry of your pastor, it will help you none. If you will go back in your mind, and hopefully you took some notes, and you'll say, "I'm going to start doing that." 2019 is going to be an exciting year for those doers of the word. I don't care where you're at in the spectrum and your spiritual journey, there's another rung on the ladder. Will you observe to do? I want you to make that commitment. Please do not entertain me. Do not do what I'm asking just because you think it's going to make me happy. But if you'll observe to do, if you will circle your problem with prayer and meditate on the Word of God and get in a place of worship, I would like for you to stand to your feet, and I'd like for you to come down and just stand up here, not making a commitment to me, but telling God Almighty, "I will," listen to these words, "I will observe to do the message that I heard today." Hallelujah. 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 Don't look to me, guys. I have nothing more to give you. I poured out my heart to you. This is your time with Him. This is your time with Him. Get alone with the Lord. You tell Him, "I heard the words the Spirit of the Lord was saying, and I will observe to do this year. I will circle my problem today, and I am circling it for the rest of the year. It is a bullseye for what I want the Spirit of God to take down and get out of my life." Spirit of God, speak to your people. Oh, let the presence of God dwell with us mightily today. May we be humbled in your sight. We are your people. We are your children. We seek your face. We seek your face. God, empower your people to take their Jericho. Empower your people to take their Jericho today. I speak to those sicknesses in Jesus' name. And I say, you have been arrested this day in the Spirit of God. Your days are limited. Sickness, you've got to go. You've got to go, says the Spirit of the Lord. I will meditate on His word that says that He is Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals me. No longer will I entertain thoughts of the enemy that tells me I better plan my funeral. I'm not planning a funeral. I'm planning a life lived for God. Hallelujah. Whoa, hear the voice of the Lord today. You are conquerors in Christ Jesus. Let's take our Jericho. Let's take our city for God. Let's take our mountain. Hallelujah. Sing it, Trina. Let's spend a moment just in worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. So let us all around.
This place is full of angels right at this moment.
So let us
come on.
worship. I give you all my worship. For you alone are God. I give you all my worship. I give you all my worship. I give you all my worship. For you alone are God. One more time. I give you all my worship. I give you all my worship.
Have a word of knowledge.
There's somebody here. You have a self-inflicted wound and you don't think God is going to take care of that for you. And I just want to tell you, God's been putting this on my heart for like 30 minutes. And I was like, okay, God, I'll just wait for your timing. And it's now. You have a self-inflicted wound. You've done this to yourself and you know it. But God says it doesn't matter. Does not matter. You lay it at my feet and I will take care of it. I'm big enough to do that. I know everybody's stupid, but it doesn't matter. It does not matter that you did this to yourself. You lay it at my feet and I will take care of it.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's a word that needs to be responded to. If you're here today, if you want to just move right to the front and say, that's me. I have a self-inflicted wound that I need the Lord to heal. God is speaking by His grace that He is going to touch this. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Anybody else? Come on up, my brother.
In you.
Is that you, Zach? No.
Jesus,
okay.
I belong.
Anyone else?
Unto you.
Amen.
You're the reason that I live. The reason that I see. Jesus, I believe. In you.
Father, I thank you for my brother and my sister. I thank you for the humility that this took to stand before a congregation. To say, that's me. I respond to the Spirit of God, and I look to you as the source of my healing. I ask you right now to heal it, Lord Jesus, whatever the wound, whatever it is, Lord. I pray, God, touch it, heal it. Make me whole again. Put me back together. Put me back together, Jesus. Make me whole. Heal my heart as well as my body. In the name of Jesus, I proclaim healing. I proclaim healing over you.
Oh, I worship you, Lord.
Jesus.
I will worship you. I will worship. Oh, I give you praise. I will. Let's worship Him. I will worship.
Oh yeah.
I will worship. I will worship. Worship you, Lord. I will worship you. In Jesus, I believe. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing with all I am.
Hallelujah. Brother Diddy, where were you at? Observe to do. It starts here, it doesn't end here.
Can I make one announcement that Eric forgot?
No.